Let's pray, shall we, as we get into God's Word and have a look at some of the other points from our vision statement. Father God, I thank you for your Word. Today there's a lot for us to look at and a lot for us to take in. It's not complicated, it's pretty basic, but I pray, Lord God, it will make sense and we'll understand it and we'll live it, just like we just sang, that you will come and live in and through us. And make an incredible difference, not just in us, but in this world that we live in. We thank you for this in Jesus' name. God's people said, amen. Amen. As I shared, this month we're going through our vision statement as a church. We as a church believe that we want to become a dynamic community. And we wanted to believe that we are going to be authentic, friendly, prayerful, empowered by the Holy Spirit, and whose life and witness is a positive influence in our community. So that's not a bad start. I think if we were just a positive influence in our community, that would be a great start, fantastic effort. But to be authentic, to be friendly, to be prayerful, to be empowered by the Holy Spirit is incredible. Today we're going to be looking at the B and C part, which is preaching and sharing the gospel message and searching God's word regularly to know him, to understand him, his will and his ways. Not a bad task to do, is it? So hopefully we'll cover all that today. You could easily do a whole month on each of those, couldn't you? So we're going to try and do it in one sermon. So, Jesus' life, his lifestyle, reflects a human being fully alive. To follow Jesus is to live his way. It reflects who we can be in that. There's an old English, old Jewish proverb that says you should follow closely to your rabbi so that you're covered in his dust. And so for us to follow Jesus is to follow that closely, that we take on and be like Christ. And Christians as little Christs, followers of Jesus. So Jesus was full of God's fatherly love and exuberant joy. He is so radiantly normal with God's love. So much so that 32 times in the book of Luke, Luke says that the crowds gathered around him to be close to him. So much so, and some of the examples are that four guys cut a hole in a roof so they could put their friend in front of Jesus to be prayed for. A lady who'd been sick with a terrible disease for most of her life pushed through a crowd to reach out and just touch his garment. People were desperate to be with Jesus. People wanted to be with Jesus. People walked for days to follow him. They walked out into the water so much that he had to get into a boat so he could still teach. Could you imagine that? Could you imagine people wanting to flock into here so far that I'd have to keep walking back because people just wanting to come in? They wanted to hang out with Donnie because I'm reflecting Christ so much. That's the potential that we have as we follow Jesus. Jesus is captivating. To follow him on a journey of increasing grace is the best life that we could possibly live. But let's move on into what is the gospel. So I've been doing some research this week, and I've been asking people, what is the gospel? You might be surprised to find out I didn't get two same answers. I did get a couple of Jesuses. I'm telling you, folk, you got to have a better answer than just Jesus. You're not in grade one RI class now. So if someone asks you the question, what is the gospel? Yes, it is Jesus, but you need to give me more information than that, okay? Hopefully after today you will have some different options that you can give people. To start with, let's start with the Word of God and what the Word of God says the gospel is. If you have your Bibles, we're looking at 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 1 to 6. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 1 to 6. Here we go. Now I would remind you, brothers and sisters, of the gospel that I preached to you. So straight off, Paul is saying, I want to remind you of the gospel that I preached to you. So Paul's saying, here it is. You ready? You want to hear what I preached? Here it is. And he says this, this is what you received, in which you stand and by which you are being saved, if you hold fast to the word that I preached to you, unless you have believed in vain. For I delivered to you, just as the first importance, just what I received, that Christ died for our sins in accordance with the scriptures, that he was buried, that he was raised on the third day in accordance with the scriptures, and that he appeared to Cephas, then the 12, and then he appeared to more than 500 brothers and sisters at one time, most of all whom are still alive, though some have fallen asleep. So do you hear the gospel at the end there? That Christ died for our sins, according to with the scriptures, that he was buried, that he was raised on the third day, according to the scriptures, and that he appeared alive, risen in power to Cephas, the 12, to 500. And later on, Paul says, and finally he appeared to me. Finally he appeared to me. Now, this gospel presentation was likely written within 3 years of Jesus' death. And I reckon it was what the early church grabbed hold of. And they had that word, that he, that he, that he, that he. That is a fact. That's the reality that people held their faith on. Christ, the anointed one, died for our sins in according to the scriptures. According to what was prophesied from the Old Testament, the law and the prophets, Jesus went to the cross on behalf of you and behalf of me. He was buried in a borrowed tomb, not even his own. He was raised again on the third day in accordance with those scriptures, and then he went and appeared to those around him. Now, I know some of you have noticed my haircut, so thank you very much. Apparently it's fairly easy to notice. Some of you have also noticed that I've not shaved for a week. Thank you very much. I was told yesterday, thank you, Dan. I was told yesterday I look distinguished. So I like distinguished. It's different to what I get called most of the time. Also told I was 10 years younger. So in 3 years we'll be celebrating my 50th birthday. Have anyone noticed anything else different about me today? Glasses? No, the same glasses, Bonnie, but nice try. Yes, Brendan.
Wearing the same shirt as me.
Correct. We're in uniform today. We are in sync, brother. We've been hanging out well together. We didn't even tell each other what we're doing. We're in uniform. Honest, we didn't. We're in the zone. Pastor A and Pastor B. Anyone notice anything else that's different?
Lost 10 kilos.
No. Four. But anyway, thanks very much for trying. Yeah, I'm pretty happy with that. Cynthia's not. But it's not competition, honey. Sorry?
Armband.
Armband. Thank you very much, Arthur. What do you see on my armband?
I see a watch and I see two others.
Ah, two others. There's a new one there. Anyone noticed the new one? Anyone made one of these? Oh, come on. Yeah, I've got to see some nodding heads. This is a gospel beads handband. It's to help people know what the gospel is. It's help to you to remember what the gospel is. It starts with gold. What does gold represent? Not Jesus. Don't give me Jesus. All right, gold represents heaven. No, not on this one, Bonnie, but keep trying.
God.
Very good. God, gold. Good God. It starts with God loves us. That's where the gospel starts. God loves us. That's where it starts. He loved you. God first loved us. God so loved the world. You want me to keep going with Bible passages? God loves us. Us here. Us the world. Us this community. Starts with God and his love for us. Second one, the black one. What's the black one?
Sin.
Very good. It is sin. Sin entered the world. It is in us. It is in you. You and I are sinners. Don't like hearing that? Well, we are. Red. Blood of Jesus. The cross. What Jesus did to save us from our sin. White. We are washed clean because of the blood of Jesus. Very good. You're getting this. We are washed clean. We are no longer sinners left in our sin, but we are transformed and justified by the blood of Jesus Christ that we can be pure in God's eyes. Now that is good news, brothers and sisters. And the green one is? New creation. We are life. We have life in Jesus Christ. It is no longer I that live, but who? Christ that lives in me. That's the gospel, people. It's the good news. It's what we take to people. I remember as a young Christian, an evangelist came in and started to explain what the gospel is all about. And he said, I went up to this guy on the street and I said, brother, I want to give you the good news. The brother went, great, I want some good news. And he said, brother, you're going to hell. He says, if that's the good news, I don't want the bad news. And so we start at the wrong place. We start with condemnation instead of the love of Christ. God loves you, and he's got an answer and a plan for your life. So that's the second one. Third one, here we go. For those that can spell, gospel starts with G. God created us to be with him, Genesis 1 and 2. O, our sins separate us from God, Genesis 3. Sin, S, sins cannot be removed by our good deeds, Genesis 4 through to Malachi chapter 4. Don't feel like reading all that just now, you can read it later. P, paying the price for our sin, Jesus died and rose again, Matthew 2 to Luke. Everyone who trusts in him alone has eternal life, the book of John. And life with Jesus starts now and lasts forever, Acts through the book of Revelation. The gospel, three simple way to appreciate. Warren Wiersbe, anyone heard of Warren? An older gentleman, great theologian, wrote a book called Be Daring. In his book he wrote, in 1973, Dr. Carl Menninger, one of the world's leading psychiatrists, published another book called Whatever Happened to Sin? He pointed out that the very word sin has gradually and continues to drop out of our vocabulary. The word, and along with its notion, are disappearing. They're being replaced with words such as mistakes, weaknesses, inherited tendencies, faults, even errors, and here's my favourite, disorders. They're not disorders, folks. Sometimes it's just bad behaviour that we're masking. Some of you complain about my messy writing. How dare you? I have a disorder. It's called dysgraphia. It's a silly word. Dysgraphia. There we go, I got it. It's called dysgraphia. It's the disorder of messy writing. I wish my teachers in primary school had known that. I copped a couple of raps with the ruler over my hand for being a messy writer. My mum said, let me have a look at your assignment. And she go, what, did you get pet spiders to write that? It's not a disorder. I'm lazy when I write. And I write too fast. My brain thinks too quick for my hand. And I leave letters out all the time. So much so that my own brother refuses now to have my letters. He asks me to type them out and print them off for him. I write to people in prison. They ask the same thing. Don't send me a letter handwritten, don't, I can't read it. It's not a disorder. The Bible teaches us that our fundamental problem is sin. So a fundamental human problem is not to be education or the lack thereof. It's not even poverty. It's not even drugs, politics, pollution or war. The problem is deeper. The problem is in us. The problem is our bent and our love towards sin. That's where it all is, that's where it all comes from, and that's the basis of all the things that are going wrong in our world. That is why a God, and a good and loving God, did not send an educator. He did not send a scientist, he did not send a businessman, he did not send a statesman to our planet, but he sent a saviour. Because we all need a saviour. And unless we come to that point, unless we realise and acknowledge our sin, we will never ever start to look for a saviour. Because we will think we don't need one. We will think we are quite capable. We will think we are the answer. And we will think we can do it. But we cannot. Jesus is the answer. I want to read to you some words from a song that I loved when I was about 22 years old. It's called Saved. And it's written by a guy called Bob Dylan. It says, I was blinded by the devil, born already ruined, stone cold dead as I walked out of the tomb. By his grace I have been touched, and by his word I have been healed, and by his hand I have been delivered, and by his spirit I have been sealed. I have been saved by the blood of the Lamb. By his truth I can be upright, and by his strength I do endure. By his power I have been uplifted, and by his love I am secure. He brought me with a price, and he freed me from the pit, full of emptiness and wrath and the fire that burns in it. I've been saved by the blood. There is no more succinct statement of sin in the Bible than Romans 3 verse 23. God says it is clear. All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. The problem is the universally all over the world that we have all sinned. We are inclined to compare ourselves with others. And usually we like to compare ourselves with worse sinners. Those that are drug lords, murderers, human traffickers. Because we think if we place them as the standard, we mightn't be so bad. But unfortunately, folks, in the eyes of God, they are not the standard. Guess who is the standard? You can say Jesus for this answer. Jesus is the answer. He is the one who is the standard. And if you don't reach up to that standard, guess what? It's not a pass. One of my favourite lessons in RI is to put a 0 and 100 on the board and draw a line and put 50 in the middle and say, 0, really, really bad person, 100, perfect. Kids, where do you think I am on that line? Kids in the RI class, they're too nice. They always put me up into the 80, 90, 100 bracket. And I go, really? Really? And they go, yeah. I said, okay, well, when I was a teenager, I was a thief. Oh, okay, well, you're back to 70 now, Donnie. Well, when I was a teenager, I was disrespectful to my parents. Oh, we're back here, Donnie. When I was a teenager, I used to sneak out of the house and disappear and freak my mum out because there was no mobile phones in those days for her to ring me up and go, where are you? Or to have a tracker on my mobile. Oh, yeah, he's down the valley. What's he doing down the valley? Which I was, down the valley in Brisbane. So they're going, okay, maybe you're a 50. Maybe you're a 50-50, Donnie. And then I go, yeah, but I'm a reverend. Oh, maybe you're a 70. The reality is, it doesn't matter where I'm on that thing. Unless I have Jesus, I don't pass. The only way to get 100% is to have Jesus. Here's this passage from Romans 3:24, after that one where all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. For we are justified by his grace as a gift through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. That's from the NIV. I like this one from the CEV. God treats us much better than we deserve. Do you like that? God treats us much better than we deserve. His love covers a multitude of sins over my life. His blood covers my darkness, my brokenness, my fears, my manipulations. And this is because of what Jesus did for us. And he freely accepts us and sets us free from all our sins. Romans 3:24. Four parts of this verse I want to emphasize about the salvation. The first part is that we are justified. The verb is passive. You can't do anything to be justified. You are justified by God, not by yourself. Secondly, we are justified by his grace. This is the grace which is God's favor to those who don't deserve it and cannot earn it. Grace is absolutely free. The third part is it comes as a gift. It reiterates this same point. You don't deserve it. You can't earn it. You can't pay for it. You can't work your life to get it. You can only receive it as a precious gift, a gift of salvation from Jesus Christ. The final part reads, through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. Jesus redeemed us from sin. He has set us free with his own blood. So Christ did it. We did nothing. Salvation goes to those who are justified by his grace as a gift through Christ as we are redeemed. So do you know what the gospel is now? Can you share the gospel? In the 11 o'clock, the kids are going to get the opportunity to make those little armbands to take home with them. At the middle of the break, Cynthia, my beautiful assistant, will be putting out the table with all the beads and the little leather straps. If you would like to make yourself one of those, by all measure, come and do it. Yes, John?
Is it real gold
you're going to
be using?
Yes, yeah, it is, of course, yes. Yeah, I'm no skint flint, mate. It's real gold paint. Colour. But yeah, you're most welcome to come down and do one. It doesn't matter how old you are, because it's a thing that you can share with. I'd love to sit here and tell you the great afternoon I had on patrol yesterday afternoon, just sharing Jesus with these guys, because a storm came and they all had to come and live up in the tower with me because that was safe. Captive audience, it was cool. So that's the gospel. I'll leave that there. Now, in front of me today, I have a whole bunch of books, because this next section is about searching God's word regularly to know him and understand his will and ways. You see, as Baptists, you hear this, as Baptists, we are people of the book. And if we don't know the Bible, we're not Baptist. All right? Not that it matters really what team you bat for, as in Baptist, Anglican, whatever, but we're supposed to be a people of the book. I mean, one of the little things that they used to have back in the day was a cross and a Bible. Remember that? Remember that, Arthur? Yep. So we were people of the book. We were Jesus followers and people of the book. So get into the Bible. So I've got a whole bunch of different Bibles there. I've got a Kids Big Rescue in two versions, version A, version B. I've got little Gospels there. I've got Warren Cranks, How to Be a Chaplain in the Community. I've got why Jesus. So if you want to understand a bit more, we've got a back to the gospel. We've got a whole bunch of other Bibles. And how tuned can people be? Someone came in today, they gave me a copy of the Fruit of the Spirit Bible, which they no longer need, but they wanted to give to someone. So if you would like a Fruit of the Spirit Bible, it's right there. It's a good one. Looks like leather bound and everything. Sweet. There is even some journals there that you can write prayer requests in and write down things as you're reading God's Word. Because not just about looking in the mirror and forgetting what you look like. I've never had that problem. I always remember what I look like. Although these days it's a little bit scarier. I keep looking at this old guy. Get out of the road. Let Donnie see. But it's not about just reading the Bible and going, woohoo, tick, done that for today, and then walk away and not think about it anymore. It's about reading God's Word, knowing it, and searching it so we can know God's ways and God's will in our life. Matthew, can you please play this track for us?
There's something written on your heart. It's the guiding force in your life. And when the storms of life come, the writing comes to the surface. Your story and all of its baggage is written on your heart. But there's another story, and God says that we are to write it on our hearts. The Bible. 66 books with over 30,000 verses. Now that sounds like a pretty tall order. But Jesus' life provides the perfect example of Scripture that is etched on the heart. When Jesus is tempted by Satan in the wilderness, his response is straight out of Deuteronomy. On his way to being crucified, Jesus continues to quote Scripture. And finally, as Jesus surrenders his spirit, he quotes Psalm 22. His Father's words were on the front of his mind and on the tip of his tongue at every moment. But Jesus didn't just know the Scriptures. He lived the Scriptures. They weren't just words on a page to him. They were the foundation upon which he built his life. And God invites us to do the same. But Jesus said something pretty shocking about the Scriptures. He confronted a group of religious leaders who were trying to earn eternal life by studying the Scriptures and said to them, "You're looking in the wrong place. The Scriptures all point to one thing, me. For I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. So don't think that the Scriptures lead to eternal life. They don't. They lead to Jesus, the author of eternal life. And studying them is not about knowing a bunch of nice sayings. It's about knowing a person, Jesus. To know Jesus is to know Scripture. And to know Scripture is to know the heart of the Father. For it contains the very words of God. His words were meant to become a part of you, to course through your veins, to be lived out. Something is written on your heart, and it's either your words or God's, either your story or God's story. So may you find your place in God's story. May you delight in His Word. And may that Word be forever written on your heart.
I want to encourage you today to get into God's Word. Let the Scriptures be written on your heart. But remember, Jesus confronted the religious leaders. Today is day 1,161 consistently in a row that I've been into the YouVersion Bible app. So every day I've been into devotionals. Every day I've read part of God's Word. But unless I live it, it's for nothing. I could just be a religious leader, your religious leader, a clanging cymbal with no love, no walking with Jesus, just someone who's trying to find the best out of God's Word. But unless I live it, unless I let Jesus work in and through me, I let the Holy Spirit do what He wants to do, then I'm just a clanging cymbal. And I don't want you to be clanging cymbals. I want you to know God's Word. I want you to live it. The YouVersion works for me. But after 1,161 days, I'm finding I want to go back into a paper book, a paper Bible. I'm missing something there. So I'm going back onto that journey as well. There are plenty of other examples. So many people read the Bible differently. I've got some devotionals there from the Sunshine, from the Sports Chaplaincy Australia group. I've got some other devotionals to help you on a journey. Whatever way works for you, I want to encourage you to get into God's Word. Now, these are all down the front. They're free. Just come and grab them. The Why Jesus, you can take a heap of them if you want to give them to your family and friends. There's the Gospel of John there, just the Gospel of John. We did that one a number of years ago. That one is just dynamic. I gave that to someone. I put it in a letter and I hand wrote a note to this person. They actually read the Gospel of John and it changed their lives. This person now, when he writes to me, talks to me all about God in and through his life because he read that Gospel of John. Take hold of it. There's an opportunity. There's a whole bunch of kids' stuff as well from earlier days, from my youth pastoring. It's a necessity for us to get into God's Word. It's a necessity for us to live it. Not just to read it, not just to listen, not just to watch it on TV, but to live God's Word. Let's pray. Father God, I want to thank you for your Word. I want to thank you for what you are doing in and through our lives. I want to pray, Lord Jesus, that you would mightily, mightily grab hold of us, open our eyes, bring us to that point. Help us to share the good news with those around us, in our families, in our neighbourhood, in our community, in our nation. And we pray all this in Jesus' name. And God's people said, Amen.